Thank you, Beth.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mandy. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 1st of February, year 2021, and this is the retreat, council retreat meeting for the town of Curry Beach. And we are hereby open to work on the budget and other items. First item on the agenda this morning is a continued parking discussion. So, gentlemen, I was wondering if there were any questions or inputs. I know that, Councillor, have you had an opportunity to review that contract?
Just briefly, Mayor, there's not many changes in it. I've got to deal with the school board question, but it's nothing that can't be negotiated about.
Okay. So nothing strange that we need to worry about that you saw in your cursory review?
Nothing strange. There's some details that need to be worked out, and okay. Nothing that maybe catch my breath.
Okay. Thank you. Any? Yes, John.
I dabbled with some numbers over the weekend, and if you do 6 months, April through September, that's 180 days. You've got 660 slots. You've got 12 hours a day if you do it from 8 to 8. That's over 1,400,000 slot hours doing that in a 6 month period. If you average $1 an hour, I know you won't average that every single slot. If you average $1 an hour for those hours, you would clear $1,230,000. So I think it's a good idea. I haven't quite decided on my position on the rate. The way I added up the numbers from the presentation the other night, it takes about $188,000 for the contract. So if you have $1,400,000 come in, you take $188,000, you clear $1,200,000. So I think we're on track. We have the clauses that allow us to back out if it doesn't work. I'm in favor of pay parking as a minimum as a trial.
Okay. That's an excellent point, John. I did math as well. That 632 spaces at about $5. And then I took full usage, and then I took 50% of that, and I got between 900 and 1.2, kind of like you did. That's not a guarantee, but I thought that cutting the full-time revenue by 50% should give us a fair view of what might be possible. I don't imagine every day will be the same. Some weekends will be heavier than the others, so I know you can't get 100% participation. I would not expect that, but I think there would be enough to cover the initial investment, and in the following years, of course, there's more to be gained.
To make enough money to pay $188,000 averages like 13 cents an hour.
Yeah. I think they said in one of the presentations they factor everything into, 60% occupancy over the course of the season. I'll go on the record and say if we make anything over $100,000, I think that'll be amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't see us making, I see us making revenue, but not that much revenue. I hope I'm wrong. And if I am, I'll sit up here and say I was wrong.
Well, they did a projection on 1.7. And I said, how did you get 1.7? They said, well, we looked at what Wrightsville Beach is doing, and we cut that by to 40% or something like that. And they said that seemed like a reasonable number based on the number of spaces you had versus their spaces or whatever. But we did not use revenue as an indicator, because the revenue is something we cannot control except with the offer, right?
People will come or they won't. Support different fees for different slides. If I'm parking right on the beach, maybe I should pay more because that's a premium location than if I'm three blocks back. I don't know how that would work with the technology those guys have, but I kind of went after a thinking we should avoid any harm to the community. We should support a principle that a user should pay. If you use a slot, you should pay for the slot. And I think it should be better than fundamental fairness across the board. There's doors, left and whatever. And we could not be in the residential license plates, of course, like the people proposed. But I still think if I leave my home, and I can easily walk to the beach, if I come down and use a slot, I should contribute also.
Arlen, the 180 some thousand, or the 160, however you calculate it, that's a startup expense. That's not a year-to-year expense. Or is it a year-to-year expense based on salaries and?
Yeah, that was a year. Well, it's closer to 160,000 was their kind of like actual annual operating costs. Then there were the startup costs that would be added on top of that, primarily. I think two pay stations, some signage, maybe a couple other miscellaneous things.
Yeah, which would come out for the following year.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think the first year, my calculation of the 188, that's the first year, and then it would go down because some of those initial costs are one time.
Okay.
Until you have to replace like a golf cart.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Commissioner Allen, on that point?
Thank you.
Any other commissioner have any feedback or?
Yeah, so I just think that as we move forward, you know, one, we put this at the beginning so we could vote on it and move on, and then let staff begin to work on it. And my understanding is our plan was to have a focused discussion scheduled at a later date to fix all the underlying issues, because there's a whole bunch of them. As I asked the last time, my concern is this is a big change for the town. As I can encourage through the whole process, everyone should go back and look at what happened in the 80s at Wrightsville Beach, because that's what we're getting into. If you look back at what happened then, basically it pushed people into private property parking. It ended up with the Wrightsville Beach Police Department being the most hated police department in the county when that happened. I happened to be in high school, and I didn't have a car, so I didn't ever go to Wrightsville Beach, but I went to school with all the people that did. And in school, they talked about the Wrightsville Beach Nazi police because of parking. And it lasted for a long time. So I just, again, I'm not saying I'm not in favor of it, but I want to make sure that our police department is ready for the private property owners in town and the friction that comes with them between the visitors that come down and don't want to pay and then park in their yards. Because believe me, from at least the what happened in Wrightsville Beach, I believe that is going to be our biggest issue, in my opinion. And so as long as we can say we're ready for that, then I understand the towns. And I agree with Commissioner Whitley. I don't see millions of dollars coming to the town, and I'd be surprised if when budget time rolls around and Arlen proposes the cost that he's going to throw $1 million in there to solve all our budget problems, because he's been very conservative in all our other budget dealings, and I would expect him to be the same. So it should not be considered to save, here's what's going to fix this year's budget. I think some revenue is reasonable, but not $1 million until we actually see it. With that, I also think that E Avenue, I Avenue, and 6th Avenue should be included. I'm assuming they were in all the proposals. I talked to people on 6th Avenue, and they're like, we don't want the median to become the park, the free parking area of Curie Beach. If you're going to do parking, pay parking everywhere else, make sure you include that. And if there's any other areas that have been known as free parking, they need to be harshly controlled at the very beginning. So the sand man lots in the neighborhood, we need to mark that off and not let anyone park there.
Should rope it off?
Yeah. If we don't,
I asked 6 months ago.
If we don't rope it off, then everyone, the citizens that are enjoying it right now are going to be the same ones that call us because people are parking there. We need signage at Public Works, and we need to determine what to do with Town Hall and the Fire Department on weekends, or people are going to be parking here. So all that's for another meeting, but there's a huge number of details that we got to fix very fast if we're going to do this, Council. So with that, I'm ready whenever you guys to make a motion, but I'm not making.
Mr. Mayor, I tend to agree with David that it will have an impact on the town, but I think we've done a really good job for the last 2 years of trying, as you said, control parking or get our parking organized. So I don't know what Rightful Beach did back when David was in high school, but I seem to think we're in a lot better shape because we have prepared ourselves for this. So I think it's something we need to do, and I'm ready for that second meeting so we can discuss the details.
Yeah, this whole parking thing for me is not about revenue. It's about control, and especially this year with COVID, we saw some very poor behavior. That, you know, the citizens have a level of frustration, which they rightfully should. This is, for me, more about anything is control and a source of revenue that will cure all of our ills.
Well, I believe it's all of the above. It's control. It is revenue. It's one point. Chief, can you talk to us a little bit about last year? I think you had like 250 tickets during COVID or whatever. You guys have already gone kind of through this type of thing. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. If you would just give us an idea.
Well, back in 2017, we were at 40 civil citations. Last year alone, we were at 570. And you are correct, we have been working towards either pay parking or fixing our parking. We've gone through all of our ordinances, which some of them need to be tweaked again, just a few. If you take away the 500 or 600 that we have that are marked, you take those out of our hands and just give us the complaints in the back neighborhood, we can definitely handle it. So, I mean, we handled it this year with all the other parking being shut down and pushing people back. And if we don't do paid parking, we'll be the only town, I don't know, within three counties probably that does not do paid parking, which that will bring more people here.
And that 570 was for incorrect parking. It wasn't for paid parking. It was parking in the wrong places.
It was parking in the wrong places. It was, you name it, just a lot of people just drive their car and stick it somewhere and think they're good or whatever they wanted to do. So.
Okay.
And Topsail Beach just instituted a paid parking program.
Yep.
It's effective April 1st, $3 a day, $15 an hour, which I feel would be well below a Curie Beach rate. But,
we haven't talked about the rates yet.
Go ahead.
There's huge disagreement on the rates and who gets what on council. So let's all be clear.
We'll talk about that in a different way.
That's another day or we'll never get out of here.
Right.
Okay. Any other opinions? Statements? All right, council.
Mr. Mayor, I make a motion that we move forward with paid parking. And I don't know how I need to word it, but to work with the paid parking contractor on the contract.
Yeah, I would add a 3-year proposal, actually, so that we see if this is functional or not.
Name the company.
Oh, and the name of the company, Premier.
I'm sorry.
Your parking, we're making your motion inclusion
And that's pretty. Okay, I'll make a motion that the mayor enter a contract with Premier Parking for paid parking down at Fury Beach for a 3-year contract.
It's actually premium. It's premium parking.
I'm sorry, premium parking.
Premium parking.
Thank you.
Do I have a second?
No, I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we will approach, we will identify, talk to Premium about a 3-year agreement, and we will set up another meeting to discuss how we want this approached from cost and parking.
Can we do that now?
Yes, I think we can. What do the calendars look like for the working commissioners?
The 12th is the earliest I can be back in town unless y'all can do it on a weekend.
What works for you, gentlemen?
Anytime on the 12th.
How do you look, Joseph?
Let's do the 12th, say from 3 to 5 or something.
That's fine.
At least that would be a stepping off point if we need to go. Or if we get to a physical altercation over these rates.
We won't.
Just a joke, David. Chill.
By the way, it's okay to throw proposals back and forth till then. Yes, Councilor.
I do have a conflict that afternoon starting around 1. What time were you all thinking about?
He said 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
That sound like it works for you.
No, I've got a conflict for you.
What about earlier?
Yeah.
In the morning of the 12th, Joe?
I'm good in the morning, though. Early afternoon.
Do 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
That's fine. I can do that.
You can't do 9 to 11.
So,
why don't y'all just tell me when y'all are
having 9 to 11.
9 to 11 on the 12th.
Can you do that, Joseph?
I don't know. Yeah, that's. I'll do the best I can.
Okay.
Okay, I make a motion. We set the parking meeting to work out the issues left open for Premier Parking from 9 to 11 on February the 12th at Town Hall.
And that will be a special meeting call.
Special, yeah.
And I would like John Bassett and Mike Bowden to be there at that meeting.
And before you all vote, because I'll forget to ask the question, rather than go back to Premium with any revisions, I would suggest to the contract prior to that meeting that I'll bring those to you all first. Would that be a good working plan?
I think so.
Can you do that via consensus through email so we don't slow it down? Because they said it was 60 days after we signed the contract, so if we're trying to make that happen this year, that's why I'm pushing you guys now, right? So I still have plenty of concerns to say, and I know that council has multiple views on the details, which is around both the rates and who has opportunities to buy season passes or whatever, right? The contract itself doesn't require either of those in the contract as they said it last week. So if possible, could you work that through email and consensus with council so we don't wait another 2 weeks?
Well, I'm not quite sure how that would work because that. First of all, I've got to get to it.
Okay.
Second of all, it might take, I don't know what their clock is like on their end, and it sounds like you want me to bring a finished contract to you on the 12th, but I'm not sure. I can't speak for them, I don't know. I'll do whatever you all want me to do.
I'm just asking, and it's up to council. I mean,
if I can work with you to the extent that you want my input, or we need input, or we need to talk to them between now and the 12th, if that works for you, Counselor. Or
why don't we leave that?
You're not going to have a finished contract at that meeting anyway, because things have to be discussed at that meeting to determine what goes in that contract. So if we can get it to a certain possible point, but then it's going to have to be finished after.
That's true. The thing.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Identifying to them that we have selected them, given that we can come to agreement on the contract and whatever. There are things they can start which don't really apply to what we ask them to do. So I'm willing to work with you on the contract, Counselor.
Why don't we go this way? I think Mandy's right. There may be some decisions you all have to make in that meeting that will influence the contract. Let me get into the contract. Let me start working with it. I'll keep you. You can be my contact, Mayor. I'll keep you posted of my preliminary findings and what I think might be involved. And let's just start going down the track and see where we end up.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
It sure does. There's a variety of terms we can work that don't apply, and then the rest would be on the 12th when we get direction for it. Okay, that works. Okay, so we have the time set. All right, it's time to move on.
Did we vote? He stopped us from voting on the meeting.
Okay, we can. That's right, we did have a motion. So we had a motion for 9 to 11 on the 12th.
I'll second that.
And we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right. So be it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on. Department head presentations. Public Works.
Well, I guess the biggest thing this year that's been brought up to me would be possibly the paving situation. A year or so ago, I gave you guys out a diagram map. I have one in front of me now. I apologize for you guys not having one. But as far as the schedule goes, the 2021 schedule was going to be Curie Village Way, which was going to be an estimated cost, which this is a year or so, almost 2 years ago, getting the prices, so I'm sure it's going up some. I'm just trying to give you guys a visual in your head about how much paving actually does cost. Just the Curie Village Way, we were looking at $105,000 just to pave that area there, the whole Curie Village Way. And the 22-23 year, Severn Lane was going to be paved, which was going to be an estimated cost of $255,000. So in between them right there, you're looking at roughly $350,000-something just to get two roads paved. Also, just let you know that the 2019-2020 schedule that I have was Seaward, Sloop Point, Settlers Lane to Curie Village Way, M Avenue. All that had been completed. Also, there was a couple other cul-de-sacs I can't think of the top of my head right now, which was repaved. But we also have one, Heather Lane, which is scheduled to be repaved. That was going to be a cost of roughly $22,000-$23,000, which is already on the books. It's scheduled to be repaved. The biggest thing this year is going to be, and I've talked with Councilman Hager about this, is possibly some sewer projects down on 4th and 5th Avenue that really needs to be looked at. I don't know if it needs to be just relined. I've got a price of some relining, but to me, some of it is not going to be able to be relined. Some of it's going to have to be actually dug up and replaced. So I'm working right now on getting calls for that. Them two roads right there, I mean, just being around this business for a while now, you're looking at close to probably $500,000 getting something like that done. But as far as regular projects and stuff, we've had, for instance, the fuel tank project that we had discussed because the state painted us on that. Actually, we have the generator installed now. I have a company coming out this week and digging up the old tank and doing all the site testing and all. and sending all the state paperwork back to the state. So that should be completed by the end of, probably end of February, which the state did give us an extension on the violation to the end of February. So we're in pretty good shape as far as that right there. Like I said, we really, thanks to council and everybody else, all our main projects, such as the lift station rehabs and stuff like that, our bypasses and stuff, all that's installed right now. It's completed. It's ready to go. But as far as anything else like that, I mean, really the paving is more of the biggest issue, and a lot of most of the town complaints from the residents that we really need to address.
So you've got all the streets?
Sir?
Have you reviewed all the streets and which ones are the top priorities?
Well, when I first started this 3 years ago, I went through town and I did prioritize the worst ones. Now, you know, there is some cul-de-sacs which are popping up now that, you know, we may have to, I would have to go back and look at and possibly include in some of these projects. So,
I can't find that report. We don't have it for the vote. We don't have it for the budget package. Can you send that report to us, please?
For what, sir?
The paving report.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. I sure will. I'm looking at it right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't have it.
You can just send it to us, please.
Yeah, I'll definitely send it to you. I apologize. I was out last week with the virus, so. But yeah, I definitely will. But like I said, as far as the public works, the integrity of the lift stations and stuff like that, we've made great improvements on that. And the bottom line is a lot of residents, which I understand, wants roads paved, but paving roads do cost.
Harlan, you're exactly right. Harlan, can you work with Public Works and give us a proposal to do that faster? So if I look at the fund balance in the power fund, which is how we pay for roads, you showed $255,000 on page 24 in there, which will not really cover this. I know you're allowed to finance roads. We have resisted that historically, but is that something we should consider? Just because I think there's enough citizens' complaints in enough areas that we should do it as a larger project than trying to do the small projects that we've been doing. We haven't done that for probably 20 years, 15 or 20 years, where we did a huge portion of the town, as opposed to just doing fixing. And especially in the roads that Jimmy's prioritized on the plan, those are going to be more expensive because those are also stormwater channels. And they have to actually be taken down to grade and then brought back up so that we don't cause more problems in those areas, unlike just paving over the top of them, which is going to be more expensive. Is that a potential?
Yeah, that could always be a potential. I mean, there's other... later today, I have some other information in here, too, about, you know, if we were to use just general fund.
Right.
You know, available funds to, you know, and what that... you know, how much of that it would be. So, but I really need to see Jimmy's report too.
Yeah,
I have his estimates, and again, that's what I used in my calculate. But yeah, is it a possibility to finance that? Yes, it would.
Well, I think the rest of the council will see some of the emails that I've seen around road stuff over the last 6 months, and I think we just got to ramp it up. I mean, this past year we like did all stop because of COVID on a bunch of programs, and I think that was appropriate. Now as we're coming out of that, I think there's plenty of citizen, I don't know what the right word is, interest in a bunch of roadways, and the plan is not going to be satisfying, I don't think, to the citizens, and so council's got to figure out how to do it. And I think we don't have the funding that's there for roads. It's not building that fast, and it's never going to catch up, so I think we're going to have to do something different, even though we don't like it.
But I mean, the most we get is
65,000,
and that's actually down this year.
Of course,
but it's going to continue at a slightly lower rate. So, say even $60,000 a year.
That's right.
We've got a couple things. One,
the roads in, well, I'm going to say the north side of Cuddy are all, like you say, channel storm, majority of them. That doesn't help the roads age. I mean, it's...
No, exactly right, it doesn't.
And second thing is, they were put in around the 90s.
Yeah, oh no,
early 90s, so it's that time, and unfortunately, Powellville will never...
No, I agree.
We were at that point, we're going to have to do something to boost that paving budget to...
That's what I think too, I'm with you, right? So, I mean, the citizens are more concerned about the roads than they've been in my time on council, from the emails. And so I think that means we got to change what we're doing. I personally don't like it. I'm sure Arlen doesn't like it because it really is dead. But we work for the citizens, and that's where we are, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, a big project is disruptive for 6 months, and then you're happy with your roads. And I think that's what we're just going to have to do. But it's a lot of expense, right? And the citizens got to realize it's a lot of... You hate your road for 4 to 6 weeks while they're tearing up in front of your house and your car's dirty and your yard's messed up, especially those roads because they have side roads and they're going to, in my opinion, we need to get an engineering study, but they're going to have to go down to grade so that we don't cause a water issue up there.
Yeah,
you can't just pave over them because then you make the problem.
Yeah, they're going to build down to a couple inches anyway.
That's right, exactly right, which is dirty and nasty. So,
well.
But if that's what the citizens want, okay.
Cool.
And then Jimmy's second thing, the sewer issue is also a bigger concern, in my opinion. We have a water sewer fund for that, so it's funded from a different source. But it could cause some significant road issues on 4th and 5th Avenue, south of K. We had last summer, if you remember, at G and 4th, yeah. 4th and G, we had basically a sewer catch basin collapse in the middle of the roadway. We fixed that. Public Works and their contractors did a great job fixing it. But it's indicative of a larger problem. Those are probably 30 or 40 years old. We've relined them once about 20 years ago. I'm looking at Jimmy to make sure I get it right.
Yeah.
I think it's about 20 years ago. And unfortunately, 20 years passes really fast, and so now we're in that issue as well. So there's some pretty significant project stuff that I think as we work through this planning process need to be on council's mind.
I agree with you on that point, David. We've got roads, we've got sewerage, and we've got the continued work on drainage. All of those are important to the citizens of this town. And we're going to need to find ways to help Public Works because they tend to be the focus of what's wrong because of those three issues. And it has a lot to do with funding, and we're going to have to figure this out. So a lot of work ahead of us, Jimmy. I mean, we'll try to help you with prioritization, and then you do the best you can with what we give you. And we'll have to work with the citizens, let them know what we're doing, how we're doing it, how we're paying for it, and why it's important, and maybe the priority.
So Jimmy, please share that report, and then please work with Arlen and your vendors to go ahead and start getting pricing for more of the roads on that.
Yeah.
Once you share that, I'm sure council can give you feedback on the priorities for the contractors, and then the same on the sewer, so we have costing as we work through the budget process.
Yeah, I guess the good news is that there are funds for each of those, special funds. However, the bad news is they are not near enough.
There's
yeah. So, okay. Anything else, Jim?
No, sir, that's it.
Nothing else?
No, not today.
Not today? Okay. Building Department, John, morning.
Morning, Mayor and Council.
Morning.
Usually every year I go through, you know, what we've done over the last year and compared to the previous year, especially in regards to permanent fee collected and house and bill and things like that. I plan to do the same thing this year in addition to a couple other updates with other activities. And if you have any other questions, please let me know, and I'll be happy to answer them as quick as possible. So, just a very, very quick breakdown. In 2019, we had 42 new units built in Kiri Beach. 24 of those were houses and 9 were townhomes.
Oh, just hang on. Do we have this either? Do we have this in? Okay. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Can you send that?
I didn't submit it, but I can send it to you.
Yeah, if you guys could send it, so for all the departments, it'd be nice to be able to see what you're talking about.
And
just as a feedback.
Okay. Total permit fees I collected in 2019 were $360,410. 2020, we had 26 new units total for Kiri Beach, 11 houses and 15 townhomes. Permit fees were significantly less, $184,683. And currently, it looks like we've got just over 200 lots left in Kiri Beach that are vacant.
How many, John? Less than 200?
Just over 200.
Just over 200.
This, of course, counts our lots on Sandman and various other parcels that I don't anticipate ever being developed, but we count them.
And we're building
now.
In 2000,
I would not anticipate that.
I've been on council for 5 years. We had 280 when I got on council.
Yep.
So it shows you.
Yep.
About 75 built, 25 a year.
Yeah, I was going to say it's about 25 years what we seem to be using. So there's about a 10-year supply, maybe.
I think I forecasted 26 about 4 years ago.
You know, the interesting thing is if you look at Realtor for Kiri Beach, there are 43 homes and lots advertised. Only 5 of them are not pending contract.
I think that's the reason you see the significant drop in 2020, among other reasons, is the fact that the lots are few and far between and the prices are getting up there to where it's not making a whole lot of sense unless these interest rates keep coming down. Mm-hmm. Continuing on, do y'all have any other questions about that? You guys know I'm going through a ISO 5-year audit right now. I'm nearing completion. I've submitted all the documentation about 5 different times now. And I believe I'm done. It goes to the reviewer now, and then ultimately we should get a new grading in the very short term. I'm really looking forward to that because we did add some new things that should bring our rating down. Down is better, obviously. You guys know it's very similar to what the fire department goes through. That is for our flood. I'm also going, I just finished a BSAG rating, it's Building Code Effectiveness Grading System. I finished that in 2020 also. Brought us down to a rate of 4.44. I've asked repeatedly what that did for our insurance rates for our residents, and I haven't heard back from that. The guys that I deal with on this are in the low end of things, and so when I ask questions like that, they say, well, we've got to get with our supervisors and send it on the chain. Ultimately, I think it gets lost in the noise, but I do ask those questions.
So, John, does the flood rating impact insurance rates as well or no?
The first one I spoke to you about, the ISO 5-year audit, that's for our community rating system, which is directly correlated to the flood National Flood Insurance Policies. So right now, we're on Class 8, which saves 10% for each property owner that has a flood insurance policy. I don't know what we're going to drop to. We added quite a few things to it. We should drop to at least a 7, which is 15%. But there's only so much we can do because we're a very small town. When we started it, I think we had around 900 flood insurance policies, different flood maps. I'm not sure how many there is now, but our only flood zone is on the ocean front with our new flood maps from 2018. So that significantly changes things. It makes it harder for us to maintain a lower rating system.
Is that required flood?
So
is that required?
This community rating system is not required. No, sir. We do this electively for the town to save our residents.
Okay, but if I don't, for example, I don't have to have a policy where I live, but I elect to. Is that included, that number, all the homes or just ones that are required to have permits?
No, it's all the ones. It's all the policies in town.
Okay.
So So what you're talking about is deferred rest policy should cost you about $423 a year, $450 a year.
Yeah, John, everyone in Kirby should have one.
Yeah.
Even though they're not required, it's worthwhile money. Yeah. Me and my dad argued every year about flood policies.
Yeah.
So.
So we're talking just flood policies. There's no impact on hazard.
No, sir. That's where the building code investments grading system comes into play.
Okay.
Which is what I went over briefly before. We're at 4.44.
Okay.
In addition to the federal government reviewing this year, we went through a state review also. It was called a community assistance visit from the state flood insurance program. That is also, I'm waiting on one project to finish up so I can submit that documentation for them to wrap that review up also. So I guess what I'm getting to here is Beth and I have spent a lot of time over 2020 going through these reviews that come up periodically, and for some reason they all come up at the same time this year. A lot of fun. Now, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to harp on my new code enforcement officer over here. You guys are gracious enough to include a new full-time employee in my budget in 2019. I'm really thankful for that. I believe you guys have seen the benefits of that over this past year. And so I just wanted to cover a couple of things here. As far as training is concerned, she's completed a law and administration class. This is a base 15-hour class that required prior to any person being certified as a code enforcement official for the town or for the state of North Carolina. That was completed in early 2020. She's also completed and passed her building inspector level 1 class and has received a probationary certification. That probationary certification is good for 3 years, but she must test at the state within a year and a half of receiving that certification. I believe we're looking at maybe in the next 6 to 8 months, she'll be testing for that. She's also completed NIMS 100 and 700, which are the incident management classes you guys are well aware of. So in the future, in the next year or so, we're gonna try to get her up to the School of Government for some zoning classes and certifications, which are very beneficial and essential. I went through it several years ago, and I can say, hands down, that was some of the best training classes I've ever been through in my career so far. So I'm excited to send her up there to go through those also. To go through a quick code enforcement report, one thing I never really did that she's kind of taken a run with is track the different violations as she comes up with them. And so in 2020, she came up with 111 code enforcement violations and resolved 94 of them. There's 17 pending. Let's see. In building and zoning, there were 7. 6 were resolved. Grass violations, high grass, and maintenance, there's 16. 15 were resolved. Nuisance and junk, 4. Were noted and 3 were resolved, 1 is pending. And you guys have been here for a while, will know which one that is. It's over there on J Avenue. I've worked with that individual for about 15 years, and she's gotten more done in the last year than I have in 15. So I don't know if he's just ready to clean it up or she's effective, I don't know which. But right of way obstructions, those are things like giant boulders, brake string strung across the right of way, no parking signs, things like that. She noted 12, let her resolved. And then the big one that I want to speak with you guys more at length is garbage violations, garbage cans and garbage bags left out beside the road for weeks on end. And these are primarily violations that occur at short-term rentals. She's noted 72 violations. 59 resolved and 13 still pending. She didn't put it on here, but I'm sure there were several of those that are reoccurring, and she makes phone calls and tries to fix them as they come, but it's still going to be an ongoing problem. As we talked about before, she patrols the channel on Thursdays and Fridays for the garbage, and so it's basically a three strikes what we're trying to do. First offense, mark the garbage can with orange sticker. Second, sending a violation letter, and after the third violation, we're trying to issue fines, which is a whole other topic that I've been speaking with our town attorney about, just how we can assess these violations and then collect them to make sure we're actually moving forward instead of remaining stagnant. He also goes out daily and patrols town for other things, such as real estate signs and things of that nature. That's a report on what we've had going on in 2020. I'm certainly here to answer any questions you may have. Look forward to any feedback.
John, for right-of-way violations, how does your department and public works work to resolve them? Specifically vegetation, I'm thinking at L Avenue, Hillary Avenue, right on Atlantic Avenue, where the big palm trees blocking the stop sign. But just more in general, how do you guys decide, okay, it's really in the right-of-way and the property owner's not going to do anything, public works, can you go and cut this down? Is that sort of how it works, or?
It has.
I've also
used my budgetary funds to hire outside contractors to do it in the past, before Jimmy.
Okay.
But usually it takes a phone call to Jimmy and it happens.
So you guys worked it out. Yeah, well, we just got that one this weekend. That's why it's on my mind. Right. So.
T Avenue is a big one. This usually has to do with the line of sight for traffic. That's
exactly
where I jump in and say, yeah, it needs to be cut back. And I usually just ask Jimmy to handle it if we can't get the homeowner to jump on it right
away. Is that one on his radar? That specific one?
G Avenue?
No, Atlantic and I think it's N. It's either L or N. Where that big palm tree is right there by the stop sign.
On Atlantic Avenue or on?
On Atlantic and the cross street, right? Just when you, if it's not on there, can you add it? I saw it this morning, I was riding around it, and then the email got pinged.
Come on.
And then I'm sure the mayor forwarded you another one we got over the weekend.
I'm not certain.
No, I'm sure he will, or John will. But I think you guys are doing a great job, so you brought it up, I'm just interested.
No, thank you. Yeah.
So, and I would have brought it up to you, it's just a morning thing, right? But in general, appreciate all the work you're doing, and to your assistant that went to classes in 2020 during COVID, I appreciate that. I'm traveling as well, so doing that safely can be a little scary, but I appreciate that you got your training in even during COVID, that a lot of people have not. Nice job. Nice job to you and your department. I know you worked with personnel to make sure it was done safely, so a great job all the way around. And to our citizens, just realize the staffs of all the departments are continuing to do the training required by the state or by their departments, even during COVID, and that's not happening everywhere. So to all the department heads and all your staff, please pass that on. It's recognized because there are towns that are just basically blowing off required training and they're getting allowed to do it, and I'm glad to see it. We're not doing that. So you've got it on the line.
I don't even know how they're able to do that, but yeah.
Well, I think it'll catch up, honestly. But good job by all the department heads and your staff.
Not for me. Comments? Okay, thank you, John. So you want to go next, Arlen? Finance?
Sure, why not?
All right.
So I think most of you know what the department does, so I'm not really going to run through and highlight kind of the things that we do on a normal basis. I thought I'd just throw out a couple things that were kind of unique to this past year, which, like everybody, had a lot of things related to COVID. So we had to spend time, as a result of some of the governor's executive orders, developing payment plans for our water and sewer customers. I think in the end, we submitted about 40 to 45 of those out to customers that were having some difficulties or delaying payments. I think we ended up with only about two that actually accepted payment plans. Everybody else kind of caught their accounts up fairly quickly. But it still was a very time-consuming process of getting everything in place and then monitoring all of that also. In addition, we had to do monthly reporting to the North Carolina Utility Commission based on you know, how many accounts we billed, how many late fees we had to forego because of the governor's executive orders. So that went on for a number of months that we had to provide that information. We also had to do that. I just submitted recently a special report to the local government commission about the impact on COVID.
Is that loud enough for the tape thing?
It should be, because they're underneath mics. Okay. That's why we're set up this way, but I haven't received any complaints of not being able to hear.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Sorry.
Oh, sure. Just recently submitted the special report to the LGC that looked at about the last year and a half on a monthly basis for a number of different revenue sources, trying to compare, like, get a real feel for the impact of COVID-19. So from property taxes to sales tax to, you know, water and sewer revenue, building permit revenue, in addition to some other information about whether, you know, employees were furloughed and that type of thing. So that was just submitted last week. We did receive some CARES Act funding through New Hanover County, and so there was a lot of reporting surrounding that also and how our funds were actually used. So that's been completed. Some non-COVID things was the actual final integration of our new water meter reading software into our billing system. So that's been working great. I mean, I think on a monthly basis, we really only have a handful of maybe rereads that have to be done. So in comparison to where we were, you know, not only the number of rereads, but also, I mean, more on the public works side, the amount of time that is saved in regard to, you know, reading meters. I think it's to read the whole town, I think is approximately 2 hours.
2.5 hours?
Yeah. Where before it was a couple days and, you know, a number of staff doing that, so significant savings, and it's been working great. In addition, we had the WaterSmart customer portal fully operational now. We're hoping that with the mailing that just went out last week with the town decals, there's some information in there about to give residents how they can set their accounts up. So hopefully we'll get a lot of participation in that. We'll also work on getting something to admin that we can get up on the town website too, to provide information in how, you know, what that portal can do and how to set it up.
So with that, Jimmy, you probably want to talk to Ian and Brad, and on public works part of the website, have, if you see a peek, here's the things you should look for, or a link to that. Because if people start looking at it and they have a running toilet, before they call you, they should look on the website and see what they should check.
Right. That was the purpose for that.
Exactly right. So I think we need to give them more guidance. There's stuff out there, I know, but we should put it on our website so they can link to it, either from finance and from public works, because they may look on the finance website from your directions, just so they know how to look for their leak kind of thing, because it'll waste a lot of time if we get calls every day for, hey, my water usage jumped up last night.
Well, okay. Actually, what they're going to see, because of the meter reading system that we have that's drive by once a month,
right.
They're only going to see updated information once a month, and it'll show the previous 40 days. So unfortunately, they're not going to be able to see real time.
Well, that's fine.
But it's still helpful, and the WaterSmart portal gives suggestions.
Does
on,
it? Okay, good.
On what the problem could be and what to look for if your water usage has spiked.
Perfect. If it's already there, then sorry.
But we'll be able to use this system for a lot of things, and we still need to work with the Public Works Department in regard to messaging that can be sent out when you need to shut down the water in a specific area for some type of repair. So there's a lot of uses for this system besides just the actual customer portal side of it.
Okay.
So we will get that more operational as we move forward over the next few months.
Awesome.
And I guess for finance, I don't see the biggest need that we have at some point is something we talked about for a couple of years, which is really looking to upgrade our financial software. And that would encompass, everything from accounting to budgeting to accounts payable to utilities billing. So you look, really, the best thing would be a comprehensive package that's all integrated. So
you've already identified that last year, right?
I identified it. It got with various unknowns because of COVID in regard to the budget process. It was, you know, put on hold. So I would, you know, move that back up to the to-do list, I guess, or priority list when we as we develop the next budget.
Well, I thought at our last, at our December meeting, I think it was Commissioner Whitley, I'm not sure, but I thought council was interested in you adding that back in, since the sales tax revenue that we actually got compared to what you budgeted was much better. And so we used some of that money for the employee recognition, but my understanding, at least I'm in favor of this, if the rest of council is you bring that to us with a budget amendment in February if you're ready. I don't know if you have the information.
Yeah, I probably won't be quite ready at that point.
In March.
Because it's, you know, it's the selection of an actual package or whatever definitely takes time, making sure we get the right thing that's going to work best for not just the finance department, but, you know, all the departments.
So I encourage you to try to get it in this year if you can.
Okay.
And it's way better to do it in the spring than in the summer when you're running crazy.
Yeah, well, it's also working around a lot of different things because, you know, one is the annual audit, making sure we have the appropriate information ready for that, and then also the budget process. So it's, you know, hitting that right time period, I guess, for the actual implementation, because it will be an extensive project to make sure all the data gets converted correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of times with financial software, you got to run, you almost have to mirror your old system and your new system to make sure everything's lining up right and everything, so it might be a...
Yeah, we'll have to do that definitely for a period of time.
Yeah.
I'll ask council. I'm in favor of Arlen doing it as soon as he feels it's the right time. Is council in favor of that based on where we are in the budget?
Well, I am in favor of it. I would like to see what other priorities are put up.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
you have been, we do need this. It's another one of those items that are critical. So we definitely need to, I'm in favor of taking a good look at getting that done quickly, according to whatever you think.
Right, because the other thing I want to do is really not just take our current processes and put it into it and make it fit or adjust a new system to our current process, but try to look at our all the processes and how we can be a little more efficient with some of the things we do. So.
Okay.
There was one point, because you had mentioned COVID and how we had some increases. I haven't sent you the data yet, but I got it last week in the meeting with the TDA. Cree Beach had the most significant increase percent-wise in ROT. Obviously, we have a smaller number, so the total number wasn't higher, but we had the greatest growth as a percent. We had $126,522 above last year for the first 6 months. So,
37.5%.
Yes, 37.6. Yep. So that's good news. May not help us with software, but it may help us in other areas where we can then use something software or other budgets.
Right. I mean, I think at last week's council meeting, the reimbursement requests that you approved were a little over $300,000 worth of reimbursement requests.
Right. So. Very good. I mean, that's moving along better than expected. But if we had really thought it through, maybe it could have been anticipated. I don't know.
Well, I think that at the point in time, you know, especially when we develop the budget, and we'll talk about this later today or whatever too, but, you know, all the direction was that, you know, things like sales tax, potentially property tax, ROT, POW bill, all those things were going to take a significant hit. And, you know, some of those things just didn't materialize, at least for us anyway, luckily, so.
Right. I think that's the key for us.
Right.
There are lots of other towns that are in a lot worse shape because of their revenue streams. But everyone came to Cure Beach to get away from the pandemic. So that was the good and bad last summer, I guess.
Right. So, I don't know if anybody has any other questions for me.
Not I. Gentlemen.
Great job, as always.
Thank you, Arlen. We have a good team. So the next on deck is Fire Department, Chief Kennedy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Can you send me a copy of that for minutes, please?
I have one here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Council. This year I've done what I've done the last few years, where basically blanket right on the front page is our strategic plan action straight out of our five-year strategic plan. Each year I try to probe Council as best I can, usually around Thanksgiving, see if you guys have any specific requests for updates or inputs on our current action plans as well. But moving forward, second page, in the green you'll see what we've completed from our plan. The yellow is what we have that is still ongoing or continue to be ongoing. And then the blue is what will be discussed today, which are action items that are identified in the upcoming budget year. And then down at the bottom, just for discussion, there was a few items that were not included in the five-year strategic plan, but were included in the five-year capital outlay plan that Arlen sends out, so I'll discuss those as well. All right, on the next page, I've got some major items that we've achieved throughout this year. I'm not going to go into detail on these, but the number one major one was the ISO rating improvement. We went from a 5 to a 2. That brought us from the top 25% of all fire departments in the state and nation to the top 4%. And then that also allowed us to identify any improvement areas as we move forward. And the only reason I'm discussing this now, after we've already gone over several times, is there are ways that we can enhance our ISO in the future with no cost. The main thing is will be Jimmy when he goes to improve the pumps, just to have a filter that maybe we sit down and take a look at the output of future pumps that are put in there to increase our water supply. Volunteer incentives, thanks to Council. We implemented a new ranking structure and promotional process. We've already undergone one full promotional process and have one coming up in May to July, which I believe you have received in the email, so you're up to date on what we're doing. Junior firefighter program, although it was taken out of our fire department budget last year, we decided to move forward with it on the volunteer side. So it was brought to the attention of the volunteer board, and it was approved to be paid for from fundraisers, and it was postponed due to COVID. We felt like if we weren't holding in-house meetings and in-house trainings, that bringing young kids in there during the same time period would be an unsafe call at the temporary moment. But as soon as we get on the other side of that, we're gonna move forward. And like I said, the funds have already been approved through the volunteer side, so that'll be something I'm sort of excited about. That'd be a great new program to see young kids, especially kids of current members, and a new way for us to get new members in the community that have kids that are also interested, kind of like the Boy Scouts. Another one is the annual fundraiser. We teamed up with some of Harold's buddies, actually, that were tennis, hardcore tennis players, and they came to us, they actually approached us and said that in memory of Harold, they wanted to host a fundraiser this year for the volunteer side of it. And it was, it was $3,200 in revenue, and the expenses were around $1,400. So the profit on it was about $2,000. So thanks to Nikki and some of the other staff that kind of helped team up during the COVID times, which was sort of weird. But the plan is in the future to host the same tournament every single year during Fire Prevention Week. Last year we held an open house at the fire station. That was a good way for people to come in and see the new fire station. Next year, depending on the COVID situation, we're looking at potentially reserving the entire park, maybe getting bouncy houses and making it kid-friendly, and having a possibly teaming up with some disc golfers and making it a larger event, so that'll be on the radar for the upcoming year as well. All right, the next part of this is the upcoming strategic items that were identified in the five-year plan with budgetary impact. Number one, of course, this year again is the three firefighters on duty. I believe last year we had a pretty good consensus with council for the justification side of it. It was more of a financial prioritization due to the possible COVID impacts that we went from three firefighters down to one. So we were approved for one of those. However, there's still two left as part of that package. And as a reminder, basically what that does is that on every single shift gives us three firefighters, so an officer, a driver, and a firefighter. So that way, once on scene, we can immediately initiate interior attack and rescue, and of course the extra benefits with ocean rescues and everything else within the justification map. Next is a new squad and chief vehicle. Currently, we operate two vehicles that were police surplus vehicles. The current squad truck, which is our second most used vehicle, I think it's a 2007. That was the previous police chief's vehicle in the police detective vehicle and kind of passed down the line, and we acquired it. Painted it white, put some fire department stickers on there. You can see there the fleet replacement schedule. It's got all of our units. I'll get to the service truck here in a minute when I talk about the new engine, but you can see the age of the vehicles, the mileage of the vehicles, along with the estimated replacement date of those vehicles, which are also identified in the five-year capital outlay plan.
Ed, on the replacement years for 92 and 91, are those right or are they flipped? And I just don't read them right.
No, sir, that is correct. Okay. And I'll get into that here in just a minute when we discuss. Actually, that's the next item. That is not in our five-year strategic plan, but it's in our five-year capital outlay plan, is the new fire engine. We discussed this last retreat. We discussed the expenses that we've acquired throughout the last couple of years on our first-out engine, the ages of them, the capabilities of them. Like I said, we identified a new fire engine for replacement in the budget year 2022 and 2023. Originally, we had a new engine in that year, and the following year, a service truck replacement. And we identified possibly replacing our 1984 International with another used service truck. The estimated cost of a new fire engine, we're getting different quotes, but it's between $480,000 and $650,000, depending on how you spec them out. The original capital outlay plan had a replacement of a new engine, then the replacement of a service truck, like I said, which was $100,000 for a used service truck. However, after our ISO rating, we identified a possible savings by purchasing a new engine only and not purchasing a service truck the following year, but replacing, basically moving our fleet down one. So what would happen is our current second out, which is a 1994 Pierce Saber, would actually replace the 1984 International service truck. And we can use that essentially as a pumper slash service. So if we were to get a structured fire, our on-duty staff, of course, would take the first out engine. The next crew would come in and take the second out, and then as far as our service, we were required to drive a service truck to all structure fires within Curie Beach. The one that we have now is big and boxy. I know you guys have seen it. In my opinion, it's sort of unsafe, especially for volunteers that don't drive them very often. It's got a bumper on the front of it. It's like 6 feet long. It smokes pretty bad. But the particular setup of the vehicle could be much better. But what it'll allow us to do, like I said, is we'll essentially purchase a new engine and shift all our fleet down one. We can get rid of the service, which is, like I said, unsafe and difficult for volunteers to drive. We use our second out currently as a service slash pumper, which would increase our water capability. So instead of just driving a vehicle, a big boxy vehicle that's got six extra air packs and a generator on it, now the volunteers and the incident commander could use that as a tool to say, we've got another 500-gallon tank with a 1,500-gallon pump on it that we can use to put the fire out. It'll also reduce the cost replacement for the service truck by $100,000 estimated. And of course, the points for that, we'll get a few points for ISO in the future as well, so that would help that out. The main, although it's identified for next year's budget in the five-year plan, the main reason for discussing it today is I'd like for council to sort of possibly give some guidance. It takes about 12 to 18 months to spec a vehicle out. So throughout that process, we would form a engine spec committee, identify what the needs are, look at the possibilities. It would allow us to sort of narrow down the cost for future discussion. But before putting it all at work, I wanted to discuss with council to see if, make sure we were all on board with the possibility of a new fire engine in the year 2022-2023 budget before putting that work in. We can, it doesn't mean that we, you know, we're locking in anything. It doesn't cost anything. It's just kind of allowing me to say, hey, we identified the need. Council's also on board with it. Of course, it would depend on that particular budget year and the prioritization of the funds, of course, too. But it would allow us to say, hey, we've identified a need. We've got council support. Let's start specing one out and getting a cost estimate for one, too, which can be canceled at any time.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think that's the right thing to do.
I think it's a good idea.
Just give Arlen the input so he can put it in the plan. And I would start forward, and then as we work through the budget process, you'll know as we go through budget meetings how it's playing out. And just like last year, this budget year should be just as fluid because the new administration is doing all kinds of things that could impact it. And then COVID vaccination, what's it going to do?
So you're saying for 22-23?
Yes, sir. It's currently in plan. I believe we earmarked, we put in there 600,000 per year.
So not this budget process.
Right? No, sir.
But
sure.
The next one. Okay.
But I think
it isn't when we talk about the 5-year plans, it's all in there. So.
Yeah.
I think it's smart to get started, Ed, because until you know what you want, you really don't know what it costs.
Well, you don't just go to a showroom and buy all these things. You got to order it and they got to put it to our specific needs, and they're not going to get any cheaper. So
that's right.
And I mean, I have confidence that as you go through that, as you do with such great plans, that you will define what is necessary, what has value, what doesn't have value, and what the town will need. So I would start the process that you're mentioning with our support.
Thank you. That's all of the fire department side. Was there any questions on any of it?
Nope, no other questions. Anybody else?
I do have one question.
Yes, sir.
Are the towers to be built by volunteer people?
Oh, that's actually what I'm going to go over next, in the ocean rescue side.
Okay.
Just want to make sure we were good on the fire department side before moving to the ocean rescue side. Okay, on the ocean rescue side, wait for David to get back.
Might be good to cut the call.
There he is.
Sorry.
No, I'm good.
Okay. First up is new lifeguard towers. I've probed council over the last couple of months on the build of basically replacing our aluminum towers with wooden towers. We've already got a consensus from you all on the design, which I've attached a similar design. The reason for discussing it now, I spoke with Arlen last week. We have enough currently in our budget for... we just purchased materials for two lifeguard towers. So the materials were over there. We're actually going to start building them on Monday. They were about $1,100 per tower. We were able to receive a pretty big discount through one of our volunteer firefighters being very good friends with the commercial sales representative for Lowe's. So we got it at cost. So that was a great relationship to have there. And then we have enough in our upcoming budget to complete four more towers prior to the lifeguard season. And that was through identifying one of the four-wheelers that was to be replaced. We felt strongly that we'd get another year out of it and not have a drastic reduction in value when we go to sell it next year as well. And if we're already building, go ahead and tackle as many as we can. So just a few discussion points. The design, we've already discussed that plan. But I will need to get up with Jimmy on the kind of get some input. So the way that they're designed is so that way you can put forks in them, so you can drive a piece of equipment that's got forks on it. However, he might say, hey, let's build something that we can put a chain hook on there. So I need to get up with Jimmy on the design of that. And then next question, do we want to finish all 10 this year or do it over a 2 to 3 year period? We're okay either way. We are the ones building them. JD and I will build them in the back over there, along with a couple of members from the crew who have some pretty significant building experience framing houses. We built the ones in the past, the wooden ones with Chief Hegler, so we've got a decent amount of experience with building them. Moving and transportation of the towers, we're going to need public works assistance and or equipment. So I know Jimmy's probably looking at me like, you guys were moving them pretty good before. However, the thing with the aluminum towers that was really good that I liked is that two strong individuals could go down on a whim in August or September when we got a hurricane scare and move them. However, the wood ones are going to be significantly heavier and are going to need some serious public works equipment to move them. The plan is to build them with a design so that way we can take the tops off and possibly leave the bases, since the bases are a lot less expensive to replace should we have to. But we are going to build them pretty heavily, so if they do end up getting washed away, they should go in one piece. I know that's, I'll knock on wood on that one there, but I guess the main question for council is we're going to do six. We know we're going to do six. Is there a way that you'd like to see us to do all 10?
I prefer.
We do not have it in the budget currently, so I guess we have to get
the does all 10 ed include the one in the area where swimming is prohibited because of the structure in the water?
Dow structure.
Yes, sir. If you all, we have 10 lifeguard towers in front of it would replace all 10 of them.
Well, we're trying to move forward with better identification on the beach this year with signage, and these lifeguard stands that play a part in that, so I'd rather anything be uniform so that people can say, I'm on the beach at, you know, lifeguard station 10, and we need assistance here where our emergency services can find them more rapidly. So I think it just needs to be uniform. It doesn't need to be piecemeal.
So can you get the rest of the lumber at that rate? Because yes, lumber's up, and it's quite a deal to get at that cost.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is the view of Council Ed's question? 6, 10?
I agree with Commissioner Whitley. We should do all of them so we're uniform on the beach. And Arlen, my understanding is TDA funds were up compared to what we budgeted. That's where that would come out of?
I mean, they'll be part of the lifeguard budget.
Right.
So what I end up doing is kind of a submission, like the one you just approved last week, was to cover like the 2020 season. So it kind of goes over fiscal years. I probably continue that approach. So if we do this now, it'll get submitted for TDA reimbursement in approximately a year. So
yeah. And we don't see a problem for the budget side doing all of this yet.
Yeah.
I agree with Commissioner Whitley.
I would think maybe you want to keep track of the labor hours as well.
Do we need a motion for that?
I would think.
I make a motion we have the finance officer work with the fire chief to allocate funding to do all 10 stations this year.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so be it. All 10, Ed, if you can.
Yes, sir. Next up is a lifeguard shack. I don't know if you all have seen it, but it's slowly deteriorating. Basically, the siding is T111 currently. And, of course, the north side, which gets the grunt of the damage throughout the fall, it's starting to, it has holes in it. So we've identified that it's in some need of repair. Discussion for today is simply that we wanted to match what we've done with Town Hall Complex and Fire Department with deciding the colors, or do you want me to continue on with putting T111 up and painting it red and white? We're open to whatever, but before I started repairing it, wanted to make sure that I reached out to you all to see what you wanted. The cost difference is roughly $3,000, and that's an estimated cost. It's not a, it's a, I think it's a 12 by 14 shed, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, this is another thing that would be, I would think it would be reimbursable. So from my perspective, I would think, unless there's a reason to have it, you know, some type of safety colors, that I would want to go with the same as the rest of the town structures.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay.
I mean, you got to add it.
So. Right. Yeah. It'll have to be done. It is not in our current budget, so what I plan on doing is putting it in the upcoming, passing it until the upcoming budget, and then this coming summer, do it then.
For $3,000?
Be $5,000 total. I could probably pass it for, replace the side of one of it, a couple $100.
So would you do it at the end of the season or try to do it in the middle of July?
Either way.
I mean, Arlen, what do you think about it? It makes more sense to do it now before we get into the season than trying to do something down there.
And the other thing I could end up doing, and maybe under the circumstances would be the best thing, is do like an additional PDA request in a couple months of this, the light fire towers and the repairs to the shack, so that we could get that reimbursement much quicker. Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, if you think about everything we're doing strategically with the preservation stuff downtown and everything else, how nice our park looks, we shouldn't patch this and let the lifeguard stand sit there looking different. I mean, if the plan is to upgrade it, we should do it. It seems double work to me.
Right, and that's why I think if we want to move forward, I'll go with that approach and do another lifeguard TDA.
Plus, you plan to do it now before the season and get it done, instead of trying to
repair it and then.
Well,
I could use that money toward fixing it permanently.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
fix it right now. I just don't think that makes sense to me. I don't know what the rest of the council thinks, but I think we should direct the finance officer and the fire chief to just fix it properly once instead of doing double work.
I agree.
So, Chief, you can do that as early, plus you got the 10 others.
So move forward with all 10 towers and the shack repair to match Town Hall Complex.
That's what I think.
And I can work with you on the signage for it.
Okay.
Thank you, your signage.
May I add something to that, please? You may also want to look into the electrical part of that, getting a new meter base, a new control panel in there. Also, I mean, all that's probably going to have to be taken off, so you may want to take that into consideration of an electrician having to come down and rewire that thing.
Yeah, after the issue we had last summer, we definitely have to do that. I agree. Good job, Jim.
Thank you. Okay, next is a camera on the beach. I had discussed this a few months back and proceeded to discuss it with the police chief and had a vendor come down and get some quote. I've attached the quote. I also attached a image of what it would potentially look like as far as our beach. This is a picture of Surf City, the south side view. The quote that's attached is a one-time fee. Matt and the Satellite Army actually gave us a pretty quality camera, so that it can reduce a decent amount, I believe by about $800. But the benefits of a camera could be used for police department surveillance, could be used for the police department to monitor the dogs on the beach in the morning, and in the evening for illegal activities and for their record if something does happen. Could be used by the fire department to monitor lifeguards, could be used by the lifeguards to monitor rescue events, and then of course, depending on what we decide is appropriate, could be used by the public prior to coming down to the beach to see what the capacity of the beach is before leaving their house. I was going to add that into the upcoming year's budget, but I know you all had requested me to bring it to the budget retreat now, so I didn't know if you wanted a further discussion of where it was going to be located or whether you agreed or not agreed.
Okay, will it pan like the surf check?
It will not. It has the capability to pan, but the one that he quoted us is control. So whoever's got control of it can move it left or right.
So for example, if you had a hull on the south end of the pier, somebody, police department, would move it to that location?
They could, if they wanted to, that's right. We could set it up to pan. It could just sit there and pan 180 degrees all day long like the one currently does. That one always seems to miss all the action. Every time it turns that way, you want to look the other way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering how it's going to be used in an emergency situation.
My original desire was to have two cameras, one on each side of the beach that were fixed, mm-hmm. but had the capability of moving if you needed to move closer towards the piers or the pier on either side. I felt like it was a very valuable tool for the police department to use, especially in the morning time. It could save those guys from driving the four-wheeler on the beach early in the morning. They may enjoy that, but instead they could pull it up on the camera and say, oh, there's no dogs down there. Or,
how far do you think you can see?
He said that you could see fairly well about a half a mile, which I thought was pretty strong. And you can see in the camera the picture there that I added at the end. It's pretty strong. I mean, of course, the farther away you get, the smaller it gets. I just felt like it was worth possibly bringing the council to, like I said, discuss. And could be a valuable piece of equipment. You know, the police department's doing a surveillance program currently, and we're always talking about a force multiplier, so I felt like it was a great way to look at that for $1,800 as well.
Well, in my opinion, I always think they're good ideas, perfect memory. They work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Does this fit at all into our grant or no?
For our grant?
Yeah.
Currently, our current grant is for radios, which we did get. I don't mean to jump
yeah.
We would have to do a specific grant for the cameras. And those go up to $25,000. And if it is at $1,800, I'd prefer not to use a grant for that because we can go up to $25,000.
Okay. All right.
I say put it in the budget process and let's talk about it in the budget time.
I agree.
Okay.
And then lastly, beach signs. I'm working with the SLAP committee currently. Joe, I believe, on some potential numbering of basically a revamp of some signage down the beach. We've identified that the current numbering system sometimes can give us and dispatchers and callers a chance to screw up the address and we'll go north instead of south where it actually is. So there could be a way that I'll bring to the budget workshop after I meet the SLAP committee a little more in detail on that.
Okay.
And that's all on the ocean rescue side.
Well, thank you, Ed. That's a lot of good thoughts on there, and to proceed on these items. Okay, we have 10:32, I guess, and it is we have a scheduled break. So why don't we take that break for 15 minutes and be back here around 10:44.
Thank you.